EAA's Eagle flights will begin this summer in Oshkosh. Local airports have a higher public approval rating than Congress. And pistol-packing pilots may be a thing of the past. Hello, everyone. I'm Glenn Moyer. This is Aero News for Tuesday, March 27th, 2012. The EAA's upcoming Eagle Flights program, the new aviation orientation program for adults, will have its official kickoff this summer with inaugural flights at the EAA Air Venture Fly-In, scheduled for July 23rd through the 29th at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. The Eagle Flights program, based on the enormously successful EAA Young Eagles Flights for Youth, will focus on one-to-one flight experiences and pathways that help adults toward discovering more about flying and eventual pilot certification. With the 1.6 million youth flown through the Young Eagles program since 1992, expectations are soaring for the launch of these Eagle Flights. EAA member pilots will supply the free flights, while support and infrastructure is supplied by EAA. In addition, EAA is welcoming partner organizations to support Eagle Flights, as the aviation business community has a vested interest in added growth and activity by new aviators. This summer's Air Venture Fly-In is the perfect launching pad for the new program, since it will also mark the 20th anniversary of the Young Eagles initiative. Americans love their local airports, but they're still not quite sure how they work, according to the new national survey commissioned by Airports Council International North America. A majority, 61%, recognize the importance of airports to the economy, with 33% of the respondents saying they are extremely important to their local economy, a finding that is consistent with a recent ACI-NA report that attributed 10.5 million jobs and $1.2 trillion in spending to the nation's 490 commercial airports. More than two-thirds of the respondents, 67%, expressed favorable views about the airport in their community, putting this vital infrastructure ahead of the U.S. Congress at only 21%, Transportation Security Administration rated 35%, major airlines at 38%, major car companies 49%, local government 50%, and public schools at 61%. Despite widespread public support, however, only one in four Americans were aware that the federal government has the power to limit how airport improvement funds are spent at the local level. The Airports Council says this is important because with both passenger and cargo flight demand expected to double over the next two decades, investment and spending decisions should be made at the local level. The fiscal year 2013 budget submitted by the Obama administration would cut the $25 million allocated for training flight crews in handgun use in half, which could spell the end to armed pilots in the cockpit of an airplane. The program, known as FFDO, trains pilots and first officers so that they can safely carry handguns during flights. In the 1980s and 90s, pilots routinely carried firearms when they flew, but that program was scrapped prior to 9/11. During a panel discussion held Friday at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, commercial airline pilot Captain Tracy Price linked the end of the program to the hijackings that occurred in 2001, saying, quote, "We had a really bad cockpit breach, four of them. We lost 3,000 Americans. We learned that day that this is a horrible, horrible experiment," end quote. The Department of Homeland Security says, however, the FFDO is no longer as necessary because of the multiple layers of security now in place, while noting that TSA is moving into risk-based systems, which are a higher funding priority. Boeing and Japan Airlines, JAL, celebrated the delivery of the airline's first two 787 Dreamliners on Monday. JAL is the first airline to take delivery of a 787 powered by the fuel-efficient General Electric's GEnx engines. The 787 is the first mid-sized airplane capable of flying long-range routes, enabling airlines to open new non-stop routes preferred by the traveling public. JAL will be the first airline to start such new, never-before-flown routes with service to Boston next month and San Diego next year. Two U.S. teenagers are among the winners in the YouTube Space Lab contest. The winning experiments will be flown on the International Space Station. Americans Dorothy Chen and Sarah May will see their experiments fly on Expeditions 32 and 33 later this summer. Their experiments involve the introducing of different nutrients and compounds to bacteria to see if their growth can be blocked. If their hypothesis is correct, they suggest that further studies could give us new means of fighting germs right here on Earth. YouTube and Lenovo sponsored the contest, challenging 14 to 18-year-olds to design an experiment that could be conducted in space as a means of highlighting the wealth of educational material available on YouTube. Still to come, biofuel from down under. Once an astronaut, always an astronaut, and things no longer go bump in the dark or in the light at the U.S. Air Force Academy. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Moyer. We're continuing now with today's report on Aero News. Qantas said Monday it plans to operate Australia's first commercial flights powered by sustainable aviation fuel, biofuel, on the 13th of April 2012. The flights, a Sydney to Adelaide return service operated by an Airbus A330, will be powered by a biofuel derived from used cooking oil split 50-50 with conventional jet fuel. Produced by Sky NRG, the fuel has been fully certified for use in commercial aviation and endorsed by the World Wildlife Fund. Its life cycle carbon footprint is around 60% smaller than that of conventional jet fuel. Meanwhile, Airbus and Virgin Australia have joined to study a new pathway to produce biofuel from eucalyptus moly trees, currently grown in Western Australia's wheat belt, where the trees are harvested and converted to a feedstock. The trees are indigenous to Australia and can be planted on farms alongside other crops to provide a range of long-term environmental and social benefits to farmers and rural communities. The hope is to have a pilot alternative fuel production plant operating in Australia in the next year. A former NASA mission specialist who is running for U.S. Congress wants to have the title astronaut placed by his name on the ballot, but a law firm with ties to the GOP has sued to block the use of the title, saying it is not one that a person carries for life. Jose Hernandez is running against freshman Republican Jeff Denham for the newly drawn 10th District in California. Hernandez was a mission specialist aboard STS-128, a mission flown by Discovery to the International Space Station in 2009. He retired from NASA in 2011, according to the Huffington Post. He had filed to have the title astronaut appear beside his name on the primary ballot in June. The Fresno Bee reports that a Sacramento law firm then filed a suit to block that title, saying it is not an honorific such as doctor or judge. There's been no court decision yet, but one can't help but recall what happened when they tried to tell Senator John Glenn that he was no longer an astronaut. Godspeed, candidate Hernandez. And finally, gliders taking off and landing at the U.S. Air Force Academy are now operating from a surface that should be familiar with many NFL players, artificial turf. The surface, which is expected to last some 25 years, is smoother and more economical than grass. The Associated Press reports that Academy brass said that the grass strip was bumpier and harder on the aircraft than the new turf, and it will not require regular watering or mowing. They also said the markings on the runway will be easier for the pilots to see. The installation of the turf cost about $3.6 million. As a resident of a small air park on a 3,000-foot grass strip, I can't wait to share this news with my neighbors. I just wonder if there's any of that federal stimulus money still lying about. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, you can join us every day, Monday through Friday, by subscribing to our AeroCast, either on iTunes or at www.aero-news.net. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure. Oh, and I hope it's a smooth one.